Good afternoon. Welcome to the 9 months results conference call. I will pass the floor to Gonçalo and João, who will go through the results presentation. And after that, the two of them, together with Rodrigo, will be happy to take any questions you may have. So let's get started, Gonçalo.
Thank you, Ana. So welcome to you all, and thank you for joining. So if we get to slide number 4 with the key messages, I'd say that third quarter consolidated on one side expected results that we have, and also we got a little bit more on the trend and on the targets that we feel we are going to have at the year of, end of the year. There are a couple of impacts in the middle of the year that were penalizing EBITDA, and now we are starting to see a little bit that shifting. So EBITDA is still reducing, so it was around 343 million with a reduction of 2.6% versus last year, still dominated by a lower remuneration driven by a decrease in assets and an increase in the rates. Also a little bit more of added costs, that's, I'd say, on the same trend, and I'll go into that. Then on the other quarters, it was slightly compensated by the incentive of economic efficiency and amortization. Internationally, we were lagging a little bit, and I think that in this quarter we also recuperated, namely in Transemel, where we wanted it. That kind of trickled through to net profit. It stood at 68.4, also in terms of trend and improvement. On the back also of financial results, maintaining a good performance as the cost of debt has been decreasing and as debt has been decreasing also, and I will also go into that. CapEx is consolidating its acceleration. The teams are on the ground and building, I would say, with very high energy. We are expecting a lot of construction to be finalized in the last quarter. And so we already see a strong increase in terms of transfer to RAB, and that is going to, I'd say, accelerate significantly in the final quarter of the year. In terms of the sector, I will leave it to João, who will go through some of the main events in the next slide. Thank you, João.
Well, thanks, Gonçalo. Good afternoon to you all. On slide 5, you have the major overview of what's happened recently. Obviously, the most relevant issue is the new regulation for electricity. By the 15th of October, as seen, the regulator presented the confidential proposal to the Tariff Council, but announced some public information, which is the one that most of you have already access to. And these include the fact that we will get a base rate of return starting on 4% with an indexation mechanism similar to the one that we were used to, with a cap of 3.7% and a floor with 3.7% and a cap of 7%. The regulator this time set an efficiency target for our operations on 1.5% and also confirm that the assets that have been put into operation before the end of the current year, so before the end of 2021, they will be kept the same logic of the reference cost mechanism, including the 75 basis points premium. Apart from that, in August, they will release the regulatory framework, not the parameters, but the framework, which basically was consolidated with this first draft proposal of the parameters. And last but not least, we also get, during the summer, the appraisal of the regulator on the investment plans for both electricity and natural gas transmission businesses of REN. This was the overall opinion is of course in line with the challenges of the energy transition, although in some areas the regulator raises the questions if some of the investments could be delayed. At the current stage, we are preparing the final version of these both investment plans that need to be presented officially to the government by the end of this current month, by the end of November, and the government will have the final words on approving or not approving these plans and specifically what is required to be necessary for this energy transition objectives. Jumping to slide 7, you have an overview of the technical figures, technical and operational figures. Here what we see in terms of consumption on the electricity side, some recovery from 2020. Bear in mind that 2020 there was a decrease in consumption due to this COVID-19 pandemic. On the natural gas side, you see a decrease versus 2020, but this decrease is fully justified by the decrease of the gas that was consumed by the combined cycle plants to generate electricity. In what concerns to the what we call the conventional consumption, industrial and households, there was an increase, and this increase is reflected, for instance, on the gas distributed by our Portgás concession. In terms of renewables, we are continue to increase the renewables share in the electricity consumption in Portugal. Until now, we reached the target of 60% of the all electricity that was consumed in Portugal. It was generated from renewable sources, and this is in line with the goals of the national plans for the energy transition. What concerns the quality of service, what you see is slight fluctuations, one up and some down, in terms of the availability and the quality of service of our network. But overall, we can still say that we have maintained the very high standards of quality of service, both in electricity and natural gas side. And with this, Gonçalo, I jump back to you.
Okay, João, thank you very much. So if you want, let's pick up on slide now 8. This is just the main highlights with the key numbers. I'll pass and I'll just point out again the EBITDA, which is now falling quite a bit less than it was falling in the middle of the year. We were falling around 3.9 and this is 2.6. This is something that you'll see improving as the year goes by. I'll also point out the amount of net debt. It is extremely low. And I'll come back to this. This comes on the back clearly of the tariff deviations that we've been having due to the high prices of energy. And I'll come in and get into a little bit more detail afterwards. Slide number 9. So in EBITDA, as I said, it's trending better as expected towards a kind of a more stable-like EBITDA at the end of the year. The main impacts are the same as we saw before. So RAB remuneration, OPEX, contribution. International segment still a little bit negative, driven by Electrogas, as I said, and I'll explain that, being compensated by some other revenues. On the business segments, I would say same kind of trends, gas transmission decreasing a little bit, electricity transmission going up a little bit, the rest is more or less, I'd say, the same. So looking at the evolution of rates, they are still low, they haven't... they change a lot, but in the graph, it seems a little bit more stable. There is no major change versus the second quarter, so we are at the floors of all of the rates of return. Okay, so this is where we are expecting to be. We are very close, and actually, no, we are not very close. We already ended, so we stayed there. So this is where we were for this year, and which is what we expected already. For a long time. Looking at slide 11 and CapEx, you can see clearly a ramping up of CapEx and transfers to RAB. And we do think that the amounts that you see here still do not portray completely what we expect for the full year. As we said last year, we were recuperating in terms of transfers a lot of projects that were delayed and so were not concluded at year-end. We can expect very strong transfers until the end of the year, and we also expect strong CapEx delivery until the end of the year. In the business plan, we had this interval of 200 to 235, and we are expecting to be at the top of that interval, if not to exceed it. So we are now, it all then depends on how the weather and other things progress, but we do feel that the operating teams are making very good effort, and there's most of the projects that we had planned, not all, but most of the projects are being able to be delivered this year, which I think is good news. In terms of slide 12, I'd say it's early because since we are starting to do those transfers, you still see a decrease across the board. We hope that on the electricity side, until the end of the year, you see a reversal of the story. So you see the stabilization of gas distribution. You will continue to see a decrease in electricity without premium and gas transmission, but in electricity with premium, we do believe that with these new transfers to RAV, we will probably see some kind of a reversal that will reflect itself in the average RAV next year. So that's what you can see also in terms of remuneration in slide 13. Very similar story to the second quarter. So remuneration impacted mostly, not only, but mostly by the asset-based evolution. That is very similar in electricity and gas transmission as of now. I'd say the full amount of remuneration decrease. A little bit more of impact on the electricity side of the ROAR. But I would say more or less similar stories and gas distribution more stable from this point of view. Looking at the cost part in slide 14, you are already seeing this a little bit different from the other quarter. We expect this to improve towards the end of the year. We expect the core OPEX to go up, but for this increase to be lower than it is now. And now it is being driven, although personal costs are increasing a little bit, it is being driven mainly by core external costs. And in this, I would point out, I'd say, three. One, electricity costs. So we are also, on the cost side, feeling a little bit of the pain in the terminal. So it's almost 2 million euros. And this, from the first half to the third quarter, the double, so it was 0.9 and now it's 1.9. So the cost of energy has been hurting everybody. The second thing is the insurance cost. We already saw it in the second quarter. There's no acceleration, just a similar trend. The consultancy service is the same thing. So this was mostly the cost that we have coming from before. So I'd say that some of these costs are not going to be recuperated. Given the price of electricity, I think we will still feel the electricity cost pushing this upwards, but we do believe that in terms of core OPEX evolution, the year-on-year percentage is going to be lower and more control than we have here. Internationally, so what we saw is some recuperation as expected on a year-on-year. So Transemel was decreasing, and now you see that is kind of progressing positively. This was due to the recuperation of some tariff revisions that they had in 2020 and then went into the accounts now. And so this is kind of what we can expect it and will continue to consolidate next year. On Electrogas side, we already knew that this year we have one contract reducing and some dynamic for the revenues to come down. Next year, you'll see a reversal of this. You'll see a new contracts coming in. But meanwhile, this year, you'll see this drop and some recuperation next year. I'd say, again, very close to what we were expecting. Better trends than we had from before. And so from, I'd say, a financial indicator point of view, no issues. We are now operating fully out of the agreement that we have with the sellers, our assets. The operational teams that we have here are also getting more involved because now we are operating Transemel fully. And I'd say that that transition went very well. We are now expecting to see what happens in the elections in November and December. It's almost certain they'll have two rounds. So we will see, but apparently some kind of center-left or center-right, hopefully, scenario is going to play out. So we'll see and we'll accompany that in the coming months. Below EBITDA, on the financial results, cost of debt stable. So we've been in this 1.6, 1.7 kind of range. We have told you this is what where we would be this year, next year. So it can be slightly higher, slightly lower. It's not going to change a lot until we have to refinance debt in 23. Net debt, I'll come to it in a few seconds. Apart from it, no major news. The effective tax rate increased a little bit, but it's something that you have always to look on a full year kind of perspective. We cannot analyze this on a quarterly basis. Some corrections are based are done in a quarter that reflect past things. So it's kind of the trend. I can tell you it's almost exactly what we have in budget. Not that we share the numbers, but for you to understand that this is really what we have expected. Okay. So in terms of slide 17 and full trends, so this is a story. Strong pressure in terms of EBITDA from rubber remuneration and other impacts, and a slight recovery from the financial results, but. As income tax also increases, as of now, because last year we have more one-offs and we have some recoveries that were kind of extraordinary. So it's not that the effective tax, the tax rate has increased, but it's more these one-offs that are not so large this year makes this increase in terms of income tax. Okay. The slide 18, in terms of debt. So this is something that we don't usually see on the third quarter, a decrease of more than 360 million of debt year on year. It's not even year on year, it's from the end of the year to today. But you can see one line, the line tariff deviations with almost 300 million. And so this is a massive. So it's not a good, it's not a bad thing in itself that debt is going down. Our funding area, of course, has a difficulty managing the cash because we were not expecting so much cash. But apart from that challenge, it's not a bad thing. And by in the first quarter before the summer, we also thought that this was going to stabilize and not increase so much. But I think that the price of energy increasing so much and this trend caught, I think, everybody a little bit by surprise. So what we could think that would be some kind of reversal actually accelerated and deepened. So, and this comes mainly from that company that we have, Rand Trading, that manages the two contracts from Pego and Turbogas, from the two generators that are not, that didn't go into the market. And because of this being fully at full power, both the coal and the gas plants, they are generating much more revenues than we're expecting, and they are generating huge deviations. Just to give you a heads up, so we do not expect this to be reversed up until the end of the year. So we are expecting at the end of the year of 2021 to have a big decrease in terms of debt. Yes, we have a little bit more capex now, but we do expect to have a big decrease in terms of that. We do expect next year for it to reverse itself as we have to give back part of this. That being said, again, it will then depend on how the prices of energy and things behave next year. So I think this is all of now a little bit uncertain for us to make any projections, but that's kind of what we see. Low debt this year, some increase next year to recuperate these tariff deviations. Okay, slide 19 is just the performance of the stock. I think you follow this. It's just more for your information. We have been trailing, I'd say, more or less the market up until the end of September. And so in closing remarks, I'd say very kind of expected results. Trends improving in several places. CapEx consolidating as we expect. Just one final comment before we go into the Q&A, and that relates to regulation, and João is here ready. Just to let you know, a lot of the information about regulation is not public now. So part of it was public, part of it was not public. So we are happy to clarify and try to answer any things that we can, but there is a lot of things that we cannot comment, and I hope you understand, because we are not and we are bound by confidentiality with the regulator, and we cannot advance. So if we seem a little bit evasive or not capable of answering, please understand that in this case, and João will be leading this, it's not that we don't want to, it's that we cannot. Okay? So with this, I conclude the presentation and we can go into Q&A. Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, that's star and one if you wish to ask a question. And our first question comes from the line of Flora Trindade from Sayax Bank. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on regulation and obviously respecting the comments you've made regarding the extent at which you may make some comments, but just a general question on considering the information you have currently, do you see the need to adjust the guidance you have provided in the beginning of the year, or is it still too soon to assess it? And then a second question on slide 9 and on the evolution of EBITDA in the 9 months. This positive performance of other revenues, I've noticed that a part comes from subsidies. But is there any other segment that is relevant for this contribution, just for us to understand the underlying evolution and the recurrent or non-recurrent base of this positive contribution. And then finally, just a question on shareholding structures. So following the entry of Ponte Gadea, has there been any advances or inputs from their side in terms of management of the company, or just a pure financial investor? Thank you.
Well, I will start with the first, and then I'll move it to Gonçalo for the second, and I'll take on the third question again. As Gonçalo said in the beginning, this is a special, you know, a special phase. You know, we are at the moment dealing with a lot of information, and there is a lot of parameters that have not been closed yet, and this is why, you know, Your question is right on the spot of this, but the things we cannot really, you know, we cannot really share. And with that, you know, it's very early, you know, and we, as you all know, we are, you know, very open discussing all kinds of topics or plans or what is going on with the company. And, you know, at this phase, it would be impossible for us to try to start predicting what's going to happen in the future. You know, we have been always used to, you know, some level of stability on the regulation, and we will have to go through this process, and then we will come back to you all and share whatever will be the findings and the decisions from the regulators, and of course our reaction.
Okay, so the second one, when you were talking about that other revenue evolution, this is mainly related to that economic efficiency incentive that this year is going to be higher than usual. So that's an impact that we knew that is coming. It's not something that we expect to be repeated. It's within the calculations and the mechanism that Earth normally makes. And in this year it's going to be a little bit higher. That being said, in the full year, we should see this slightly lower on a year-on-year, on a year-on-year number, okay?
Regarding the comments on the new investor, you know, they came on board just a few months ago. It was public. They are not in our board. They prefer to stay where they are as an investor. You know, the future we just don't know. We treat them like we treat all our investors. You know, with a lot of respect. We were very happy to see that we were, you know, chosen to be one of their portfolios companies. They said they are here for the long term. We expect that, and this is it. You know, they are a big investor now in different kinds of companies on the same. On energy, and I think it's interesting to understand what they are trying to build, which is, you know, picking on companies that they are very important for this energy transition phase that we are all living. I think we have a great future, and I think that great future will be reflected on their options.
Well, just to clarify one thing of my answer, Anna was telling me that perhaps I was not completely clear. So on the economic efficiency incentive last year, you remember that at the end of the year it went up to 32. But at the third quarter, we were still unsure and we thought that it would be around 25 million full year. This year it's going to be above the 25 million, and we know that now. So in this quarter it seems a little bit above. In the next quarter full year, you'll see that kind of reverse a little bit. Okay? So that's the two impacts. But it's not going to be 32, so it's going to be lower than that. It's going to be a little bit more than 25, but less than 32. Okay, that's why you see this in the third quarter, but you'll see the opposite in the fourth. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of Sara Piccinini from Mediobanca. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I know it's very difficult to ask you a question on regulation because obviously the information are confidential. Just maybe if you can, in general, give your opinion if you think that this regulation would be supportive for the new CAPEX required for the energy transition. So this is more about your talks with the regulator, if you are explaining that you need a supportive regulation for implement the energy transition, or do you see the regulator more oriented to be efficient in terms of cost for the system? So in general, what do you feel about this information for the extent that you can share? Then the second question is related to CAPEX. We are seeing a very significant acceleration, so this is good for your local investments. What do you think about the upside opportunity from offshore wind? Could this be another source of higher investments for the future? And then just a general question on the special energy levy, if there is any update regarding the legal process, and also if you see the possibility of this tax to be cancelled in case the budget for 2022 is not approved. Is there any deadline to which the government should definitely set this tax also for 2022? Many thanks.
Well, thanks. I will take the first question. I will try to answer it with all the constraints that we have already told you. And I will try to answer in blocks. Well, the first answer, if we are committed to the energy transition, of course we are. The second question I think you are raising, if the regulator is worried about efficiencies and is trying to reflect efficiencies in the new regulation, yes, he is. And the final and most important question, if all this is consistent, that's where we are working. As you can see for the investment plans that the regulator presented is their assessment, they post some opinions about the possibility of delaying. Now this is something that we need to work with the government as well as the regulator to see what are the impacts on the governmental policies and what is the best way to comply with these governmental policies and at the same time respect the inputs from the regulator.
On the CES, and I will start with that, and then I will comment also a little bit on the energy transition and what that means to us. On the CES, you know, there is no news. You know, when it was announced that the government would be, you know, basically dismissed and the new elections will be called in January 30, you know, there was some rumors that maybe some of these, you know, let's say laws would be extinguished or would not be relaunched for the next year. But you know, apparently that's not will be the case. You know, there is already some news regarding this topic, meaning that, you know, legally they will find a solution to keep going with these taxes, and that's what we are anticipating. Maybe something will change. You know, as you can understand, you know, this is a special moment here. It's not every year that we have a government or a deputy assembly just stop their period of work. It's something new for us. It's happened before, but in this case, you know, we are now waiting for new elections, and we will see what will be the result of those elections. But in terms of CES, you know, we still have the process in the courts. You know, We've been talking about this for the past 7 years, and something we said in the beginning, it's going to be slow. That's the only thing we really, really know. Now, on investments, and we already you ask, you know, what's going to happen? How? And João addressed the question: how is the government looking to these projects, and the regulator is looking to these projects? I think at this point we hope that you know, a common vision will be developed, because we have an extremely dynamic push on the energy transition, and I would say for sure solar is a big thing, you know, and we are seeing, you know, a lot of pressure to develop new projects. You know, we saw that new solutions for project development were developed, and to be honest, they are effective. We like the solutions that were found, and we need to basically multiply by 10 what we have in terms of solar from last year to, you know, 2030. Then now we have a new trend, which is the offshore wind. And suddenly offshore wind became, you know, something that is in the news almost every day. The Secretary of State of Energy announced, you know, an important ambition in that direction. Of course, that means we will be, you know, we never had so much work, you know, because we
we have all our people, you know, making sure we develop new plans and we try to adapt, you know, all these new ideas into, let's say, solutions. And it's been hard, but we are doing so. But again, we see that this is an important trend and something important will happen. Now, suddenly, we were talking about offshore wind in the north of the country. Now we are talking about offshore wind in the middle of the country and in the south of the west coast of Portugal. Then also on top of that, we have the hydrogen. And hydrogen, it came, you know, very strong in the beginning of the year. You know, we even in our conversations, we spoke about hydrogen. Then things cooled down a little bit in terms of, you know, the, let's say, national discussion on hydrogen because of price, because of efficiency, because of the need, you know, for, you know, very significant investments. And after, you know, the summer, the hydrogen is coming back with a lot. We all saw what's going on, which is not yet done, on the COP26. And for sure, hydrogen is on the roadmap again. And I think it's on the roadmap in a very, very serious way. And we want to be there, you know, and we will be there, not as on the generation side. We will not be on the trade side, but, you know, I'm sure we will be fulfilling our role of transmission company and also with our role in terms of the storage, similar to what we do on the natural gas today. And all these projects, you know, I think they are, while they are keeping us busy today, I think that it's going to be a very interesting source of business for the future for us and for all the ecosystem of energy.
Thank you.
Many thanks.
Okay, we will now take our next question, and it comes from the line of Antonio Saledas from AS Research. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking my questions. Just two questions to clarify. You mentioned that the transfers to HAB for the current year will be between 200 and 225, 230. If you can clarify this figure, these numbers. And the second question is related with your debt that came down. From my understanding, is mainly a working capital, is mainly lower working capital requirements, as far as I understood. So it means that if you assume that energy price will come down in the coming year, for instance, everything will be reversed, if you can confirm it. Thank you very much.
Okay, I can clarify that. On the first, we didn't say any number on the transfers to RAB, but I can tell you that we are probably expecting a number which is higher than that, okay? Because the full year of 2021, as we said, has a high CapEx. The CapEx itself is already on that upper range of the business plan, which was 235, and you had a lot of transfers coming from behind, okay? So the 200 to 235 is the range of the CapEx in the business plan that we gave, okay?
Okay.
The transfers to RAB is going to be higher than that this year because we are recuperating from previous years. So this is going to be clearly above the 215 number, okay? Because this is, unless something strange will happen, that's where we are seeing it. On your question of the debt, I would say yes and no. So most of it, yes, it's a working capital issue. But so it comes from two places, as I said, and it's different ways that it reacts. So the trading is the biggest impact. Debt will most of it reverse itself last year if the price doesn't change in any kind of unforeseen way. Others, for instance, in the gas sector is relating to certain deviations that will not probably go away in a single year. And bear in mind that electricity and gas are 2 years after, and some of the deviations are actually going to be in a different way because they were not specifically about consumption estimation deviations. But so the simple answer is yes, you are right. The more complicated answer, yes, but you are not going to go back to the former debt
because also bear in mind that in rent trading we have two contracts and one of them is going to cease to exist in 18 days, so at the end of this month. That was generating a negative recurrent deviation that will, in principle, disappear. So you would expect overall deviations on a more stable base to be lower. So that's what we expect. Okay. But
okay.
You are correct in the way that you look at it. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Okay, no questions at the moment. Please continue.
Okay, so if there's no questions, I wanted just to make a final comment. As some of you may know, and some of you may not know, our investor relations is leaving us after more than 50 of these calls. So she was here for the first one when she saw the company coming from a fully state-owned to a partially state-owned to a completely non-state-owned company. She has been of great service to the company and to investors, helping us talk to each other. And we just wanted to thank her in the name of the company for her devotion and wish her all the best. Okay, Anna, thank you.
Okay, so, well, many of you already knew that this would be my last results conference call at RAND. At the end of the month, I will end a journey of more than 14 years as head of investor relations at this company in order to pursue a new project. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for, over the years, listening to what I had to say, making me take your questions, use them to create a more solid narrative, and help other investors to better understand what RAND is about. Well, to some of you, it's just farewell. To others is more, I see you when I see you. But to all of you, my last words are, thank you for giving me the honor to do this job the best that I could. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, we end, and thank you for listening. Thank you very much.